The book of Psalms, chapter 75. All right, verse 6. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south or desert comes exaltation or lifting up, like we read earlier. He said, but God is judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Now, please know that scripture very well. It said that when people are going to get promoted in life, it is not because of where they are coming from. Now, what we are seeing here is that there is what the Bible calls east and west, and there's what it calls the south. And like I've explained in previous times, east and west describes spiritually now your surrounding circumstances. What is going on right now in the place where you are? Whereas south describes where you are coming from. Whereas the north, in effect, describes where you are facing. Are you getting the point? So he was saying that where you will get to, that is, exaltation is your north. That's where you are facing. That where you will get to in life is not determined from the east or the west, nor from the south, but is determined by verse 7. It says, it's determined because God is judge. That God is the one that decides. Judge there, you know, in modern day terminologies, we are used to judges essentially punishing criminals alone. They really don't promote people. Yeah, you getting my point? But when he was saying God is judge, he was saying that there are times he judges people and he puts them down. And judgment, on the other hand, is to lift up somebody. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? And that why somebody will get to a particular position in life is because God is judge. It is not because of the circumstances around him or where he's coming from. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What do I mean by circumstances around him? I mean, it's a situation in our country, not just country, everywhere in the world, that you find out that people believe that exaltation comes from east or west. That is, it is where you reside currently that decides how promoted you will be. In fact, people like Archbishop Benson Idahosa and Bishop Oyedepo have to popularize this saying to counteract that. That a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. What they were saying is a spiritual fact that it is not where you are that decides how great you will become in life, but actually where God is placing you. That's east and west. That which passport do you, which country do you live in? Where, what is the price of the of crude or refined products? How much is the dollar exchanging for currently? That those are not the things that determine who will be exalted. That what really determines it is whether God exalts the person. He said the other thing that does not determine it is where the person is coming from. Now, you may say, some of you may say, look, but you've taught us this thing before and we have believed it. Now, I don't believe such things anymore. What I mean is that you said one thing 2 years ago. Forget half of the people, what am I saying? 70% of the people have forgotten it. Those who remember it, you need to bring it to the front of their minds. There's a reason why I'm saying that again. Now, because we've discussed this thing again and again and again and again and again. I mean, but we will not stop saying it, all right? Because it's very important for your establishment. That if for you to be established in truth, it must be repeated to you again and again. So he said that what about south? South refers to where you are coming from, like I said. And what does this mean? This describes who are your parents. That, like I was saying earlier, which country were you born in? What's your nationality? Are you getting the point? You've gone to school, you have graduated. Which course did you study in school? And which grade did you make in the course that you studied in school? All right, how much degrees do you have? He said those things are the things that we call south, where you are coming from. He said, but all these things put together actually don't determine where a man is going. There was a message I preached about two Sundays ago in church, and I told you last Saturday to make sure everybody gets a copy. Please, make sure you still get a copy of it. It's titled, How Christians Get Results. You see, I discussed some things in there which I'll add to today. I believe that it will bless you if you just get a copy of it. How Christians Get Results. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, what am I going to explain here? So we think about where we are coming from as if that is the reason where we go to certain places. But in that tape, I explained that Nebuchadnezzar had that impression. He looked at Babylon that he had built, and he said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I have built by the strength of my arms for the glory of my majesty? And you know what God did was to take him out of the scene, essentially. All right, made him play around, in, you know, behave like an animal for a while. And then when he came back, he found that the kingdom was still established. What God described to him by that experience was that I really don't need you to bring this kingdom to be. I framed the kingdom and then I gave it to you. So after that, Nebuchadnezzar began to praise God. That is, Nebuchadnezzar realized that I am not here because of where I came from. I am here just because God, who forms everything, who the Bible says that the worlds were framed by his word, formed this kingdom and then gave it to me. Are you getting the point there? That is, Nebuchadnezzar had to understand that principle, that a man is not exalted because of his own inherent abilities. That is, you know, it's very easy. You make excuses. You know, there's one advert that's on Cosmo FM. And, you know, I heard the advert a few days ago, and every time I hear it, it makes me laugh. Celtel has a new product for business centers. And so one guy was telling his friend, look, why are you sleeping? Your friend is there cleaning out. He said, aunt, leave that one. And that boy, they use juju. So the way his friend answered, it makes me laugh till now. He said, look at your mouth. Never bought the yin yin yin. That is, every time we seek success in life, we try to give explanations, you know, for it, to explain why we are not the ones experiencing it. He said, okay, look at that guy. Oh, he has done so well. He said, hey, my bed, leave that side. It's because his father was a minister. It's because his father is wealthy. It is because of this, because of that. A number of men in the world who have made a lot of money and who have, you know, who people look up to. They made statements which... it will help me to explain this. One of them, Donald Trump. Donald Trump's father was a builder. So a lot of people thought that that was one of the reasons why he was so successful, that maybe his father helped him. And his father was successful, actually, as a builder. He now told him that, number one, when he started building, I read the story, his father thought that he was crazy for going to do what he was planning to do. He went to build in very expensive areas. His father used to build middle-level, you know, buildings. So that, number one, his father never agreed with him in the first place. So if you're talking about support, forget it. What he derived from his father was the experience of building. That is, he went around with his father. He went around doing the real estate business. So he had a foundation in real estate. But when he went out to do it, his father was not with him. Another guy who I read the story is then, he was at the point the richest man in the world, Paul Getty. Paul Getty's father was very wealthy. Paul Getty's father was actually a multimillionaire. Now, because Paul Getty became very, very rich, at the point in time, the richest man in the world, a lot of people now say that, look at that guy, he's doing what he says, you don't know, his father set him up. The guy says it's very, that he actually annoys him, and I understand how it feels. He annoys him when he hears it. Number one, when he started doing it, his father was angry with him about what he was doing. His father thought he should go to school, get a good degree, and get a decent job. You get my point? So when he decided not to do that, his father didn't think what he was doing was reasonable. His father had a lot of money. That was a fact. Then number two, is that he said that when his father actually died, no, before his father died, he was richer than his father. That is, before his father died. And that all the money his father left as inheritance, he left to his wife, his mother, so that he didn't get any. Look, by the time his father was dying, he had more money than the man. He made money the crude way. You know what I'm like, the crude way. Go out, walk, take risks, do things, and God shine blessings upon him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So, you see, people tend to make excuses. And that's what David was explaining here. That actually the real reason why people succeed in life is because God endowed them with that success. Are you getting the point I'm making here? All right. So, that's why I said we should start from here. He said, exaltation does not come from your circumstances, the surrounding situation around you. Nor does it come from as a product of where you are coming from. Which school did you go to? How educated are you? What kind of qualifications do you have? Who did your father know? How much money did your father leave for you? That those things really are not the reasons why somebody will succeed in life. So what is the reason? It is because God confers success on one and denies another person that success. That's why Solomon said that, I have seen this under the sun, that the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong. What he was saying is that, listen, a lot of times, men who are really strong, they lose battles. You are following the point I'm trying to make here? That is, it is not the fact that a man is strong that makes him win all the time. That for a man to win consistently, for a man to eventually be successful overall in life, it must be because God endowed him with that success. Look, that is the only way. There's no other explanation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? And there's something Proverbs said at the point in time. No, was it one of the prophets in Israel said it. He said, look, God can save with the multitude. It can save with a few. What it means is that God can take a man whose father is a billionaire, who had a first class from one top league university in America, and make him very wealthy. Or he can take one who was born in a manger, who never crossed Ikeja until he made his first billionaire. God can also make that one very wealthy. That he was saying that the fact that you see that one person made success out of life does not in any way indicate that it is his background that gave it to him. You follow that point? I need to explain that very well, because sometimes people try to start giving examples. They look at this man. We know that his father helped him. Look, listen. There are many people whose fathers helped. And at the end of the day, They didn't make anything out of it. In fact, Paul Getty, I give us an example. One of his children said money was a curse to our family. Are you getting the point? All right. Now, so please, it's important we establish that again. I understand that principle very well. Now, I just wanted to use this to start today's teaching. Remember, this is our, is it third or fourth, no? Fourth. So we've been talking for some time now about the ministry of wealth and the vow of poverty. Let me review again for a minute what we mean by the ministry of wealth. No, let me start with the vow of poverty, because from that one of the ministry of wealth, I'll go into what I want to say today. Now, when we say vow of poverty, in fact, I have to say ministry of wealth first before I can explain vow of poverty. Now, I said that in life, wealth is an endowment from God, from what we have said, but that God doesn't give you wealth so that you might shine better than somebody else. That's not the reason. It's not so that you can eat better than somebody else, but that God distributes wealth actually, or let me say the structure of life is that people have abilities that differ according to the grace that God has given to them. Are you getting my point? And that things are given to people according to how they can handle it. That when the master went out to take kingdoms, and in take a kingdom, and in that kingdom there were cities. Before he went out, he gave money to his servants. He gave ten. He gave one to each, and one came back. When he came back, one told him, "I have made 10 more." The other one said, "I have made 5 more." And to the one that made 10 more, he put him in charge of 10 cities. That is, he said, you have demonstrated your ability to handle 10 cities by multiplying that money tenfold. Are you getting the point there? And then to the other one, he said that you have demonstrated your ability to handle 5 cities by how you handled money. Now, the point I'm making from there is this. You see that when he made them administrators, it wasn't as if he was making them richer, but he was giving them what? More responsibilities. That is, actually, wealth in life is a matter of responsibility. And I'm going to say something before I conclude today. Before you can receive something from God, what you must do is to align your thoughts with God's thoughts. That's the basic thing. Let me say that again. That tip I said everybody should get, how Christians get results, that was the thing I started saying when I concluded it. This is number one thing. Before you can receive from God, you must align your thoughts with God's thoughts. What God does is to spend time. He uses a lot of time to persuade you to think like Him. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? That's what God is doing. And in fact, all these teachings that we are doing, what we are trying to do, listen, I'll explain that further again today. And what we are trying to do is to rearrange the hearts of men, rearrange the hearts of women by the word of God so that they will be able to receive what God wants to do. Listen, once the word of God is coming forth, what it is doing is removing your old mentality, are you getting my point? And putting in new ones. And when your heart has reached a particular place where it is beginning to think like God, then results will be guaranteed. Listen, I've said this 1,000 times. I cannot say it enough. Life is spiritual. Are you following what I'm going to say? Listen, before Hannah could receive Samuel, she had to dedicate Samuel to God. The reason was simple. God needed a Samuel in the land. And he had chosen Hannah to give birth to Samuel. Are you following my point? But Hannah was trying to fight Peninnah, and that didn't work. So every year, I don't know whether you're getting my point. The day she made the statement that if I have a child, I told everything is a ministry. That if I have a child, I will be willing to allow that child to do your purpose in life. God said, fine. Therefore, we'll give you Samuel, because now you are in agreement concerning our thoughts. Let me say something briefly again. It's along the line of what we're talking about. I just want to say before we get to the main issue, actually. That's the issue of wealth again. That's what I'm trying to explain. Wealth is a ministry. And the problem with most people in life is that they don't understand that point, so they keep struggling and God doesn't give it to them. Do you get the point I'm making? One day something happened, it make you laugh. But last time, I went home, that's last holiday I took, on my way back to Enugu, I had to go home because my dad was ill, so I went to see him. I didn't have my car with me, that's the point I'm making. I wasn't coming from Enugu. So on my way from home down to Benin, from where I'll join my family and then we'll come down to Enugu, I was waiting in the bus park. Now, you know, they have chairman. These motor park people, they have chairman, all right? So the chairman of that park was sitting down. And one lady came. The lady was wearing trousers, looking a bit outstanding in her look generally. You know, there was the way she was. You know, she was just walking. I don't know what the job she does. But she obviously was living somewhere around there, came to buy something. So I noticed that she was walking up and down. That man was looking at her up and down, up and down. Then he turned to the guy beside him. He said, man, if God give me money, I'll go chop better, you know. Now, do you understand the point I'm making? Now, you follow me? He said, if God gives me money, this is what I will use the money to do. You know, I just thought, you see why God won't give you money? Now, you are getting what I'm trying to say. And then the guy will wake up every morning, be praying and fasting. Are you getting my point? And thinking that, God, if you give me money, I go chop better thing. And God said, my money. You get the point I'm trying to make. Now, that may be an extreme, okay? But you see, that's the interesting thing about God. A lot of things we are praying about, the idea actually is that we are not getting God's ideas about it. We are not, our minds, we are not thinking like God is thinking. And you see, that's not a problem. Listen, believe me, that's not a problem. The issue is when God wants to begin to teach us and we are resistant to change. I've said this to us, I think that was in the last few days, that's in this teaching series. I said every time in life you pass through experiences, try and take lessons out of it. Because what God is doing is using those experiences to teach you things. It's what you have learned. Are you getting my point? That shapes the condition of your heart. And once your condition of your heart is right, it automatically attracts the great blessings of God to you. That's the way it works. Do you follow my point? Listen, life is spiritual. Listen, David was where? He was somewhere in the wilderness tending sheep when Samuel came looking for him. Don't ever forget that. Now, it is not every Samuel that wears a robe and has long hair. I said something last week when I was talking about the mercies of David, that there's a way it is in life, which is still part of explaining this ministry of wealth thing, that the kingdoms of this world, all right, God gives the keys. That's what the Bible calls the keys of the kingdom. Now, it says, all these things you read in the Bible, they are very real. They are very practical. Are you getting my point? They are very what? Practical. When God says the keys of the kingdom, when Jesus was talking, there was something he told Peter, all right, about the keys of the kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Now, generally, that would tell you something, that kingdoms have keys. Do you get my point? Kingdoms, they have what? They have keys. I explained last week that Abner held the keys to the throne of Israel. Abner, for 7 years, David couldn't come near being king in Israel. Because Abner was alive and well. And because it was God. Now, that's one thing how it works. Because it was God that gave that key to Abner. Even God didn't install David as king until either he had removed Abner or he had changed the mind of Abner. So after Saul died, Judah went and anointed David their king properly. For 7 years, David was reigning only over Judah. It was when Abner and Ish-bosheth quarreled that Abner went over to go and give the king, that is, he had the keys to the kingdom of Israel. It was God that gave it to him. It's not, that's why nobody could take it. Now, when Abner was going to speak, I referred to it last week, Abner told all the leaders in Israel, he said, you know all the while you guys wanted David as your king. That is, despite the fact that everybody wanted David as king, there was nothing they could do as long as Abner was not agreeing with them. That is, he had the keys to that kingdom. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Now, what I'm going to explain here is this. So, this is our practical. In modern day terminologies also. In fact, you know, I gave an example just now about Paul Getty, who became the wealthiest man in the world at a particular point in time. And that's how God, you see the demonstration of God in the things that happen in life. There was a time also that he almost lost all his business. In fact, all the people, most of the, because he was an oil man also, most of the oil people ganged up to kill him, because when I mean by kill him financially, his business. The reason, because he was growing too powerful. So they looked and said, look, we have to clip this man's wings. Are you getting the point? So they all ganged up and said, he's drilling crude. He has to market it somewhere. So all of us will refuse to buy. Are you getting what I'm going to say? So all of them, they refused to buy. The man was, he was storing his crude, storing and storing until he was about to drown in it. And the gist was out that Getty will soon drown in his own crude. He bought storage, rented storage. He kept on storing, but store will full one day. Then one day, he said, I think it was, I forget a few details, but the MD of either Shell, all right, or one of those big oil companies also came to town. So he walked up to that man, and he said, he's telling the story so that you will know that not everybody is wicked. So he walked up to that man and said, this is my problem. I'm about to be finished financially. Very soon, I have to shut down all my drilling operations, shut down all my taps, because I will have nowhere to store my crude. I have to sell them off for cheap and lose a lot of money. So the man looked at it and said, so, and the man just understood that these people have ganged up to kill this man. And he personally decided to break that ganging up. So he said, no problem. He said, no problem. Is that what they want to do? He just instructed his men to start buying crude from Paul Getty. And once one person starts buying, that's it, it's broken. And he being a major player, that is, he had the keys to the kingdom. Do you get my point? Listen, there are men in this country, listen, they will point to one person and make you a multi-millionaire in 1 week. And you know, you don't have to steal. Let me give you an example. The man says, okay, look, I want to invest in real estate. So, okay, you'll be my agent. You'll be in charge. On everything we do, 2.5% of the money, of the sum is your commission, as an example. And then the first month, the man does a deal of 1 billion naira. Calculate it. Now, instantly, you're a multi-millionaire. You know why? He has the keys to the kingdom. And I have noticed something about God. The gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance. Many men you don't like, they have keys. Oh my God, Jesus. You sit down and say, I don't know why this man is so wicked. How can I? Listen, the guy gathers keys in his pocket. Are you? That's why the Bible says you shouldn't be talking against the rich in your bedroom. It's not right. Because the man has what? Keys. He didn't steal them. God gave them to him. Sometimes before God can do anything against, he has to kill. Why do you think people like M.K. Abiola had to die? I don't know who killed him, but spiritually speaking, God, no, listen, I've heard all kinds of conspiracy stories, but some people just look and say, this man has the keys to peace. Listen, if this guy comes out of jail and says, there's no peace, there's no peace. So finally, just like Abner, God just allowed him to die. That's how it works. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's what I mean by wealth is a ministry. And I'm bringing that point for you to understand that, you see, when God is ready to lift a man up, we discussed that last week, we're talking about the mercies of David, all right? And that's one of the things he does. He connects men that own keys, that hold keys for him to you. And say, okay, look, open the door for that man. Listen, a man can struggle from now till tomorrow. He struggles of 1,000 years. If God tells an angel, go and meet that man, and two of you open the door, that is, these keys, and this is how it works. An angel holds it spiritually, all right? But on the earth, there's a man who controls it. Just say, look, yeah, open the door. And that's what the favor of God is about. Are you getting my point? And you know, I started this by trying to explain that when David was ready, he didn't have to beg Samuel. Samuel came looking for him. Do you get my point? What I mean by ready? Once your heart has reached the point that God says, yes, this man is now thinking according to my thoughts. This young lady is now thinking according to my thoughts. No matter where you are hiding at that point, Samuel will go out with his horn filled with oil, and he won't empty it until he finds you. That's just the way it is. Do you understand the point I'm making? That's what we mean by understanding that, look, wealth does not come from struggles. It's not from east or west or from the south. It's when God judges. He said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind. And that's how he judges. He looks at it and then uses those things that are inside your heart and in your mind, all right, in your mind, uses them to assess the works of your hand. And based upon that, he decides either to lift you up or to bring you down. Every day I have experiences in life. I observe things happen. And I keep telling myself, listen, what you will be, especially those of you who have been hearing the gospel for years, what you will be when you are 80 years old, when you are 70, when you are 60, is being determined today. Now, listen to my point. I mean that absolutely. It is today you are deciding. Listen, you cannot go for a prayer meeting at the age of 55 to change your destiny when you are 70. Take it, a bank it to that it doesn't work. Those who pray such prayers, they heard the gospel at 49. Are you getting my point? You that heard it at 18, 19, 20. In fact, some of you here, they were born. In fact, if you've been hearing since you were born, I dare to tell you that by the time you are hitting 25, your 80-year-old destiny is already determined. I know what I'm saying, no? God looks at the heart. He says, yeah, but young, look, listen. When God caused Jeroboam, he said, the only one who will die descended was the little child that was sick. He said, because something good was found in him. And it was a little child. Are you getting my point? Actually, what I'm preaching today is that, you know, last week we talked about the mercies of David. And I'll just review in a bit and some of the things we have said before so that we understand what we mean by God is judge. He's the one that lifts people up. Last week we talked about the mercies of David. What I'm talking about today actually is, why did God show mercy to David? And why will he show you mercy also? That's just what I'm going to explain. And that's where I started from. That, you know, I said I'll just continue from there. That is, it's the condition of your heart. God looks and says, this guy is thinking like me. Now, I just feel like I need to say this. This is just so important. That this issue from Philippians chapter 3. Let's just quickly go down there. Philippians chapter 3. Because now I'm reading this, of course, I remember distinctly at least four different times I've tried to explain this principle. But it's so important that we cannot talk about it enough. I won't read a long portion because we have many other things to say. But let me just quickly go to verse 13. Paul was talking about his pressing forward and everything. He said, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now this is that's just to connect. This is where I'm going, verse 15. He said, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Now, what I want to bring out here is that word, what? Attitude. Attitude. He was saying that if you have a king, I think he said mind. I don't know what word. The mindset. Oh, very good. In fact, I like that. Mindset. Now, what he was saying here, he was talking about the mindset, a particular mindset here, about pressing forward, not accepting that where you are is a perfect place where you can be. In fact, if you read chapter 2 of that same Philippians, from verse 3, it said, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. So in verse 4, it says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Verse 5 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, he now described the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. That is, the fact that he was highly exalted, but he emptied himself, in verse 7, he says, and took the form of a bond servant, and became in the likeness of men, and all of that. And then he said, therefore, God highly exalted him, and all that point. Now, what I want to bring out from here is this. You will see that he was saying, Philippians chapter 2 here, that there was an attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? And later on in Philippians chapter 3, he was saying that he also had an attitude. And he was explaining that there are different parts of life that people have attitudes. In verse 15 of chapter 3, he said it this way. He said, if in anything you have a different attitude, that's what I'm trying to explain. That there are many aspects of life, and we have attitudes in each aspect of life. I said something earlier that this is what God judges. This is why God shows mercies to David. All right? This is why God will show you the mercies of David. That is, in a particular area, there is a kind of attitude you have. If that attitude conforms with that of God, because God also has an attitude. God has a plan. That's what I mean by attitude. God has a purpose. If your purpose, the reason for your wanting to do something, coincides with that of God or agrees with that of God, then much power is made available to you. Mercy is shown to you in that area. Are you getting my point? In every area, we have attitudes. Look, there's an attitude you have about your business. There's an attitude you have about your work. There is an attitude you have about your marriage. You know, that's been my very good example. I have found out that whether in marriage or business or anything, most of the attitude or most people's attitudes are very wrong. Very, very wrong. Take business as an example. Most people think that, including Christians, they think that business is about making money. Listen, let me say to you clearly, since we're talking about the ministry of wealth, business is not about making money. Wealth is not money. Wealth is about creation of value. Do you get my point? Wealth is not money. In fact, I like the way wealth is assessed in most of the sensible world till today. You know, Nigeria has been very, very insensible for a very, 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 very long time. That is, we think very stupidly. That is, a man comes, your friend comes, say, man, this guy is a big man. What do you mean is a big man? See that Lamborghini outside? It is his own. Did you see that big house being built on the 10,000 square meters somewhere in one corner of New Jersey? It is his own. Did you see this one? It is his own. Last week, did you see his birthday party? It was on national TV. That is that what makes him a big man? What does it contribute to society? You have no idea. Where did the money come from? It is not bothering you. The point is that he has it. That is madness. Are you getting my point? In the world, when they assess who is the richest man in the world, they are not checking how much cash he has in his pocket. You know what they are checking? How many people is he employing? How much products are his companies churning out? Do you get my point? Bill Gates has been my very good example for a very long time. That is, anytime you wake up in the morning, Bill Gates is in the air. You don't get what I'm saying. You wake up, let me check my mail. Most likely, in today's world, at least Nigeria, 99%, the chances are that you are launching Internet Explorer to check your mail. That's Bill Gates. The chances are that when you are typing, you are using Microsoft Word, WordPad, or Notepad. Are you getting the point I'm making? The chances are that your computers are running, your personal computer is running on Windows. That is what it means is meant by wealth. That is why we now try to put value. How much is everything? I say, okay, maybe it's about $40 billion. That is what wealth is. Wealth is not that you have $40 billion in a bank account. Not at all. Do you get my point? So sometimes when people are praying, they are not even thinking like God. What is God saying? I like one thing that was credited to the mouth of John D. Rockefeller. He said, why do you want to make so much money? He said, look, I have to be rich to be able to fulfill the commandment of my God, to help the poor. He said, poor men can't help poor men. Only rich men help poor men. Therefore, I have to be rich. Now, listen, it may sound funny, but that's actually a good way of thinking. This man did Thanksgiving. Was it last Sunday? He did Thanksgiving in church. I like the way he gave his testimony. Like Pastor Annie summarized it, he said, he's saying 36 months ago, I was broke, busted, and disgusted. He said, but right now, I pay 10 people salaries every month. He hasn't come to say, I just want to let you people know that I just bought 5,000 square meters of land. All these things, he said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these shall be added unto you. They are not testimonies, really. They are just additions. What are the testimonies? What we have accomplished in the plan of God on the earth. Those are testimonies. Last time I went, was it 2 years ago, when I went for my alumni fellowship? Well, I wanted to, look, I give them reports. What's happening? Kingdom what? It doesn't cross my mind to say that, you know, praise the Lord, the last year, the Lord just added one new baby, a new car, a new paint for my house. No. You know the testimony? Amen. This is the second year we have been running uninterrupted on Cosmo FM. Are you getting my point? You know, the other day I was asking, the listener was telling me that our sleeves, that we put our CDs in, that they are finished. I said, what? But we just made it not too long ago, and I know how many thousands we made. In my mind, so that number of CDs have gone out. Are you getting the point? Today I was saying that, those are flyers, we're not using them again. He said, they are finished. I said, but there were 4,000 we did. He said, yes, sir, they are finished. In my mind, my belly is sweet. That thing is going somewhere. No, really. I told her, I had a discussion with my mom last time. And in the course of our gist, she just chipped it in that. I said that ministry takes most of my time. And he said, but it doesn't give you money. I said, so what am I going to do? That's the question. I said, people are born for reasons. That is the reason for which this one was born. I know I'm your son, but that is the reason why God gave me to you. I said, what will we now say? Like Jesus Christ said, I know it's painful. He said, will I say because of that, God deliver me from this hour? He said, but for this cause, I came to this hour. Do you get my point? He said, look, so it's not giving you money. So what am I going to do? That's a simple question. Am I going to abandon the reason for which I was conceived? Am I going to abandon the reason for which I was born safely? Am I going to abandon the reason why I have been delivered from death many times? Because it's not making money. No, I can't. I told about my friend who carries a British passport. He had founded a church in Sokoto. He will go and sit down and say, oh boy, so why don't we take advantage of it? For what? This is the reason why God allowed my father and my mother to live in England when I was born. This is the reason that my pastor is church in Sokoto. Abi, you want me to now abandon it? Because they have lied to you that prosperity comes from east and west. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Listen, this is what brings forth prosperity into your life. Thinking like God. I said, look, there are many areas in life. There are many aspects in life.
If you want success in any aspect, what first thing you must do is to find out how God thinks about it. You know, my wife and I were discussing a few days ago, you know, the two biggest women preachers in America, they just, you know, divorce, one, the husband abuse, all these kind of things. God. I was discussing with a friend of mine. He lives in New York. He called me from New York. He said, I went to a church banking when I was living in Houston. He said, this man teaches the word heavy, deep. The guy knows God. He said, but one thing I never heard him say is that God hates divorce. I said, listen, let me tell you something. What you are thinking is seed into the spirit. It will bring fruit into your life. That's a matter of fact. The word always becomes flesh. You hear what I said? When he said the word becomes flesh, it was not the rhema that became flesh. It was the logos. Now, what am I trying to say? Logos, when the Bible uses the word logos, it's not just about the word that is spoken. There are concepts and ideas. You can keep them in your mind and not say anything about them. And the word becomes flesh. It eventually becomes flesh in your system. That is why you must be careful not to judge the word of God by your circumstances and your situation in life, but to judge your life by the word of God, because the word of God will eventually prevail. Do you get my point? If you reject God's word, what happens is that your circumstances, they have spoken to you and they have taught you something else to believe. And what you have believed will eventually become real in your life. That's why it's so important that I keep preaching. And it's so important that I keep believing it. That wealth and glory can flow to anybody, anywhere, if the person is pleasing in the sight of God. Are you getting what I say? Because once you believe it, because it's based on truth, eventually you will be in the deepest village, in one small state, somewhere in one corner of Nigeria. Yet, men will be bringing the goods of the Gentiles to your doorsteps. Why? Because the Bible says that once the mouth of God commands, his spirit will gather it. That's the way it works. But when you believe what is wrong, eventually, no matter how nice and how beautiful you look, it will eventually come to pass in your life. This will just look. So we're saying that most of the Americans, they have believed that there is nothing wrong with divorce. If I mention two prominent preachers in Nigeria who teach their pastors that there is nothing wrong with divorce. They never say publicly. If I mention a name, you'll fall down from your chair. A friend of mine scattered the Bible school class the day they told him that. He said, what nonsense are you teaching here? Listen, be careful what you believe. I am warning you. And this is how life is. Stories will be... Look, listen, somebody will come and explain to you that there's nothing wrong with divorce because this woman almost killed her husband. They are trying to help you accept the fact that it is okay. Say, is that so? But for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and the two of them shall become one flesh. And whatever God has joined together, let nobody put asunder and walk away. Don't give me excuses for Satan. You know what I call excuses for Satan? Satan tells you stories, you believe it. Satan tells you stories, you believe it. Now, when you have believed it, he now has a place to ride in your heart and mess up your life. So when is it happening? Like I say, you see, this is not a product of bad behavior. It's a product of bad doctrine. Listen, most of the things you see in life, they are not products of bad behavior. They are products of what? Bad doctrines. They have believed what is wrong, and they are embarrassing Jesus Christ every day. I'm not preaching holier than thou, that I'm better than them. No. I am just saying that they need prayers. I am just saying that we too have to watch out to believe only what is right and not what is popular. Are you getting the point I'm making? What I'm saying, I hope you're getting the point. That if you want success in life, number one key is to get the mind of God, the thinking pattern of God, into your life. Take business as an example. You know, I discuss with my wife about that all the time. The other day, I was saying something to her. That listen, I was talking about the principle of competition. That listen, your job as a businessman is not to have a better price than your neighbor. You know, listen, Mecca was discussing it. That if you hear that your neighbor is selling for 1,005, then you drop your own to 1,450. That's not your job. Because if 1,005 is a good price, even if he sold for 3,000, you sell at 1,005. I said, now, you know, in fact, let me say publicly.
Okay, this tape may be played in 10 years' time, so let me not mention names. You know, in Nigeria, the number one telecom company in Nigeria today, I will be surprised if my prophecy doesn't come to pass. I said they can never remain number one for long. There is a matter of time. He said, why banking? I said, because of attitude. There is a particular company. I don't be rooting for anybody. I don't use their phone. They are not in any good yet. I said, between them and this one opposite here. Yeah, good. So nobody knows which I'm pointing at. I said, if things go on the way they have been going on for some time, all right? Give them a few years. Between that company and this one, they will be number one in this nation. Why? It's attitude. This other guy who's number one right now, they have a lot of money, so they took advantage of being the earliest player in the market. But their attitude was wrong from the beginning. Their attitude was, get as much as you can and deliver as little as is possible for that price. And that's how you make money. And then one day I talked to one of their marketing officers. I said, we had an argument for some time. I said, this is not right. He said, what is wrong with it? I said, it's all about the investor. He said, yes, it is. I said, okay, sorry, why are we quarreling then? Then I mean, we're not quarreling about anything. I said, I thought it was supposed to be first about the people you are serving. It is not about defeating your competitor. It's about bringing out the best product. This afternoon, I was reading Toyota's, something about Toyota. Toyota, finally, a few weeks ago, in the first half of this year, they beat GM, General Motors of America, as the world's number one selling brand. They sold about 100,000 cars, or maybe 200,000 cars, less than half a million, more than GM. GM has always been the world leader. Are you getting the point? Now, I thought about it. Now, Toyota, they are now estimating that next year, they will sell more than 10 million cars for 2008 or 2009, one of those years. That's their estimate. Now, one of them said something, their CEO, Watanabe, he made a statement. He said, it's not about quantity, it's about quality. Are you getting my point? That we always strive to deliver the best cars to our consumer. Then I remember, now listen, these things are spiritual principles. I remember that their logo those days, or their motto those days, was good thinking, good product. They have this culture they have in Toyota, they have a Japanese word for it, I've forgotten, but in English, they call it continuous improvement. That is, whether we are better than GM or not is not the problem. We must be better than ourselves. That is, what we were last year, we must be better this year. If our cars were doing 100 kilometers for this number of gallons, next year should do 101. That is, we must strive to continually deliver the best products to people in the world. Therefore, they overtook GM. But do you know why I believe that they will continue to sell more? Because of good thinking, good product, and the culture of continuous improvement. The word becomes what? Flesh. I told the word, the word there is not just what is spoken, but that which first exists in the heart, a concept, a thought. Are you getting the point I'm making here? That is what makes successful businessmen. While my wife and I were discussing, I told her the story of Michael Dell when I read the book, Direct from Dell. Dell started Dell Computers he was just angry because he loved computers. He used to go for computer shows. And he put the price of all the components in the computer together. And he found out that he could deliver a full computer for $1,000 when the computer was going out on the road for $3,000. The computer manufacturers were selling for $2,000. And the man who did nothing but sit down in his shop, wait for you to come and buy it, makes a whole $1,000 on one computer. The man said, this is not righteousness. What was annoying him was that most people who wanted to use couldn't buy. And when they bought, they got poor quality products that were poorly maintained. That was all the man set out to do. When I read his story, for years, he did not even know he wasn't making profit. He was counting how much he was just... That is, okay, how many people have we sold to now? 1 million. Oh, praise God. Okay, let's go for the second.
that if somebody can, okay, we can't continue like this. Let's make some money on this. Okay, they now sat down, did the accounting, rearranged things so that the company will start making profit. In due season, they began to reap their reward because they did not faint. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So this is really in the Bible. They are very, very practical. They are real. What am I saying? God loves people. The concept of wealth creation is for you to improve the lives of people. You know, I read something The Economist about 2 years ago. I hope I can still get that article. They were analyzing the shift in... Now, I'll combine two stories. One, The Economist, and one I read about Henry Ford in a book by Napoleon Hill. In that first article, The Economist, they were trying to analyze the world in one season and another one. That there was a time that 90% of people farmed. Are you getting what I'm saying? But right now, that's in developed countries now, less than 10% farm. You say, now, when did they have more food? Then or now? Do you get the point? That then most people farmed. They didn't have too much food. Now, less than 10% are farming. Now, they have too much food. No, if you have ever visited the U.S., the first culture you learn, let me warn you now, is how to throw away food. Because those who don't throw it away, they eat it, and then they become too fat. My friends tell me, that is why I was saying that, the first, 2 months they stayed in America, or 1 month, she gained 20 pounds. Because she couldn't understand why you would throw away chicken. So when they want to throw it away, she said, don't throw it away, I will eat it. And she ate it and ate it and ate it. You know, when I came back last time, when I went for my course, when I came back, my wife bought sugar. So one morning we were in the hotel. So we were about to leave. She was packing. I said, what are you packing? Throw it in the dustbin now. She looked at me like, what? You don't know me. That. No, Oba, you are in Nigeria. You know, no, an American won't pack it. No, I'm not joking. It doesn't cross his mind not to throw it into the dustbin. My friend will tell you that every time he enters, he comes back, or when they go shopping, they evacuate the milk in the fridge. Not bad. Pour it down the sink and throw away the carton. Put it, because new one has come. It's prosperity. You know, I remember Superman comics. Remember Superman comics? One day, you know, Superman is always getting into trouble with his loved ones. Anytime he does something heroic outside. So he was supposed to go and see one Okpeke that he was supposed to, you know what I mean? You know what's Okpeke? Okay, one young woman. One damsel, thank you. So, on the way, some people fighting. So he went to be doing hero, you know, delivering people. Then I remember in that comic, when he didn't arrive on time, the girl had made dinner and everything. The girl was very, very unhappy, and she packed the whole chicken, I still remember, the whole chicken, and threw it in the dustbin. No, with my head, Nigerian young head, like, where is that chicken going? Why not into the freezer or something? Because the whole thing, Walmart says it's for $4. So what's the thing? Literally, $4. So you just turn into the dustbin, and then it was when the guy now came, she now shut the door in his face. Go away, you didn't come for my dinner appointment. Now, I'm trying to bring out something here. Now that few people are farming, they have too much food to eat. Now, how did that come to be? Now, that's where I'm coming to. How did it happen? In that article I was reading, the man was explaining that, look, they were talking about all the jobs are going to Asia, that America is losing. He said, listen, the jobs Americans are losing are the low-end jobs. Then he pointed out that manufacturing of computer parts may be done in China, but the processors are all 90% still made in America. You can make the casing and all those other small things in Asia, but the processor is still made by Intel and AMD. Between AMD and Intel, they make 90-something% of all the processors we make in the world. He was trying to explain that the fact that some jobs are going away doesn't mean we are getting poorer. Why did that happen? That is what is called the power to create wealth. Do you get my point? That is, men engineered it in such a manner. Of course, what happened was simple. The scientists developed high-yielding crops. The engineers made planters, plows, that motorized plows, motorized harrows, you know, planters, and then they now made combined harvesters so that one man would do a job that previously like 200 men would have done. One day I saw a photograph in National Geographic
of a man sitting on top of a combined harvester. The thing was like a house, that particular one. It will harvest corn and deliver just the grain to you. So they didn't need all the people. Whoever designed all those things, the person created wealth. Are you getting my point? What he did was to create wealth. Listen, when you start thinking about creating wealth in this life, God will give you wisdom and he will give you wealth. That's why I'm telling all these stories. Most people think that business is about making money. No, no, no. Where things work well, the money you make is supposed to be an indication of how much wealth you have generated. But the money is never the primary reason why people do business. The reason is supposed to be for the creation of what? Wealth. You know, one day when I told somebody how much Kingdom World work I do personally, I as Banky, apart from preaching. And the woman like, what? How did you want it? I edit all my messages. She said, what? I upload them. What? Because to the person like, you think uploading is like carrying shovel and pushing the message onto the internet. It's not like that. It's to just have time to log on, FTP, and then drag and drop and wait. Are you getting my point? Therefore, from Australia, somebody can listen. Previously, to hear Pastor Banky from Australia, you will go on ship for like 6 months to get here. Are you getting my point? And you must come and sit down and go home and tell the stories after going back again, after many months. But now, you can watch Bishop T.D. Jakes live as he's preaching. You too, you click on the website and you're looking at him. Those days, what will have taken you thousands of dollars to earn, to experience, now you experience it with less than half a dollar. That is, somebody has created wealth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's why people do business. Now, when they have created wealth, it's called give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together. So as you give to people, men pour back to your bosom. That's why they made Bill Gates the richest man in the world. That's the only reason. Because people like Banky can upload their messages. And somebody else from a distant country can download them. And play it on Windows Media Player. And that's the word has gone across thousands of kilometers at very little cost. You know, if you have internet in your house now, phoning your friends abroad is cheaper than phoning people locally. You can phone for free. If your friend, of course, he will. If he lives in one of those countries, you have internet in his house. Once you pay your internet bills for the month, and then you want to call, PC to PC calling is free of charge. If you ever called abroad 15 years ago, is it abroad? To call, you know, you people are getting married now, people like Kingsley. And that day, one of the first assignments he did in life was to buy a phone so that he can communicate. You know what I'm saying? When I first wanted to marry, I used to queue at 11 p.m. And my wife would be waiting because once the phone rings once, she must collect it before her father wakes up. It's not as if the man shouldn't know, just that... Why do you want to wake him up? No, it's true. Because there's an extension in her parents' bedroom. I said, okay, I'm going to call at 11 p.m. It's all right. So 11 p.m., she's sitting down beside the phone. So first ring, you snatch it. But I had to go and queue at 11 o'clock, literally, buy your Nitel phone card, waiting for your talk. But now, 12 o'clock, free call. it's free call now. Free call, just carry your glow or MTN line. In fact, those who want to make responsible call, don't even wake up at 12 because the lines are jammed. All the young boys and girls on the phone. I'm trying to help you understand what is called creation of what? Wealth. That is the reason why people do business. I like a nation like Nigeria. Because right now, there's so much opportunity for creation of wealth. People don't have houses. They don't have cars. They can't pay school fees. They can't open businesses. They can't get credit for their businesses. They can't. That is, for you to make it happen for them, is creation of wealth. Now listen to me. Once your mind starts thinking in God's frequency, listen, the people that hold the keys
God will send them to you to open the doors. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, why does God show mercy to a David? Why will he endow you with the mercies of David? It is because in your heart you have begun to think like God. We are talking about the ministry of wealth. So I need to sit on that. Although this principle applies to every other area of life. Just that because we are talking about ministry of wealth, that's why I'm sitting on this. Once, where is Roque? He's not around. Roque told me that one man was saying, we were discussing. The man is a businessman in town here. He develops housing and all of that. That he was involved with their bank on a particular project, and the Federal Mortgage Bank were giving the man some hassle. And the man said, listen, they can't discourage me. That it is my job to give people houses. Are you getting my point? That my ministry in life, just like somebody else is preaching, he was saying his own ministry is to make sure that people can own their own homes. Listen, look, the ability to own your own home is not a struggle. Listen. God told the children of Israel that I have punished you like this. You labored, you earned little. The little you earned, you put into pockets, and those pockets were filled with holes. I told you something earlier. I'll add all these things together. I'll preach this again and again. Let me just say this might interest you. When Noah cursed Ham and said, cursed be Canaan. I've explained to you before that he wasn't saying cursed be Canaan alone. It was just that that was what concerned Moses. Actually, he said, cursed be Mizraim, cursed be Cush, cursed be Put. Those are all his children, apart from Canaan. Now, this is the point I'm making. He said, a servant of servants they will be. I was reading that thing in one commentary. And apparently, this is the interesting part. This is how these truths work. Apparently, people who didn't understand had used that scripture to justify slavery. That's slave trade. Do you understand what I'm saying? So because that commentary was not explained that, look, this is not a justification for slave trade. I laughed because it is not a justification for slave trade. It was the cause of slave trade. And those who will sit in error to use that to justify slave trade are closing their eyes to light when light has come. Because once Jesus comes, are you getting my point? All the handwritings written against Cush, Mizraim, and all the Canaan and all of them, they've been wiped away. That is why all this lie they tell me about Israel, Jerusalem is their own. Listen, all of you are unbelievers, whether you are Jews or Arabs. All of you are what? Unbelievers. No. I know what I'm saying. I hardly find people agree with me on this thing. When I watch them on television quarreling, the quarrel, hear me, the quarrel will never end. You know why? One unbeliever is quarreling with another unbeliever. That's the way it is. Don't let anybody fool you that Israel, there's one part, all of it najis. Until Jesus comes back, listen. Oh God. Until Jesus comes back, the quarrel will not end. Because the promises of God are only yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Until they publicly declare him Lord, they can't claim that land. And Christians who are supporting them, saying that they are all confused. I'm not anti-Israel. I am for Israel. But I'm also for the people who they are fighting. I want all of them to believe in Jesus Christ. Anyway, let's leave that matter. Let me sit on my own issue. Are you getting my point? Now, when God says things, and this is just, if you were around for our school of Bible exegesis, you get the point I'm trying to make. When God makes statements, I will give this land to you. I told you before, during the school of Bible exegesis, that he told Abraham he will give the land to him. Yet, when his wife, Sarah, died, he paid money for that same land that God promised him. So all this one, they say that it is God that gave it to us. That when God is giving you things, he converts it by the legitimate method of that season. That is why you can look at government house and say, God gave me this government house, I'll be governor, until they elect you in and swear you in by the chief judge of the state. If you are found there, critically next. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? No, I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. So then, Christian, you go and walk around a big house. Park into it first, maybe you see where you will land yourself. When you finish walking around the big house, no problem. You will now wait for God to convert it to you legitimately. Either he gives you the cash to buy it, or the man wakes up one morning and God speaks to him to give you, but the transaction must be legal. Are you getting what I'm trying to say?
You are following my point.
Now, so why am I saying that? So when he said a servant of servants he will be, the way by which he will remain servant also is also very legitimate. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That is the reason why the man will be a servant. It's not because he just wakes up and says, hey, servant of servant, they say I will be. Please, make me a servant. No. What made the prodigal son come back and say, please, make me a servant? Hunger. When hunger wired the guy's head, he came and said, please, make me a servant. Are you following my point? So when men were cursed, this is the point I'm coming to. When they were cursed, one of their curses was that they will bring money, put it into pocket, and it has holes. Do you get my point? Now, this is the other side. When the redemption in Christ Jesus came, when God began to tell his children to arise and shine because their light has come, you know one of the things he's trying to say? I will give you wisdom to fill pockets and block the holes. Did you miss my point there? That is, listen, when God, look, the men were held in bondage by physical manifestations of curses, not just by a spiritual point. There was a spiritual thing. Are you getting my point? There was a spiritual thing, but the spiritual thing produced physical effects. So that you find in a country like Nigeria, this country is very important. But to demonstrate the curse that has been upon them, they had natural resources. They wasted it. To show you, look, Nigeria is a sign of what a black man is supposed to be. First, God has demonstrated the history for us to see. Natural resources, problem. Ghana has gold, problem. Gold, now they added oil to it. Now the discussion, we have so understood that promotion does not come from finding oil. Like it's in the Bible. You could have read it from the Bible without this quarrel. We have so understood it now that when Ghana struck oil, the discussion worldwide is it a blessing or a curse? Why? They have seen that those who had it in previous time, nobody has it blessed. Not one. Not one. Don't tell me about Arabs. Arabs, Saudi Arabia has the world's largest reserve. There are 3 million people. So you can't even use them to join. And then they are still in poverty. That is, and a typical Saudi is a poor man. All his houses are built by Americans. Let's leave that aside. But this point I want to make. So that cost has produced problems in management, problems in storage. You know, Africa. Today you see mango, now you see it no more. Today you see fresh corn, now you see it no more. But you go to developed countries, they don't know the season. The mango is always in the... That is, when the man wants to eat, he enters into the market and buys it. He doesn't even understand season anymore. That is, the wisdom of Joseph has been used to bless them. Today you see planting, tomorrow you see it no more. Today you say it's new yam, tomorrow is old yam. It's lack of wisdom, I'm telling you. Lack of wisdom. Now, I'm explaining all of this to let you know that these are products of curses. But when the blessing came, and the administrators of the blessings are the people of God, that's what I'm going to explain. So when a Joseph will redeem the people, first thing we teach them is how to preserve grain. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That's the ministry of wealth. It's not to say, I'm driving a big car. No. Before, the Nigerian man, the world's example of the black man was a cursed man. But now, he has believed the gospel. The remnants inside that nation, they have received the light of Jesus Christ. And they have become the Josephs of God. So God says, go in and go and preserve grain for them. So you take life as a ministry to demonstrate. Now listen. To demonstrate the power of the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. You are getting what I'm going to say here? That it is not about let me eat big pounded yam and eat big meat and drive big car and live in big house. No. is that if David Livingstone can crawl through the jungles to tell the story, I should be willing to stand small Nepal failure to demonstrate the power. Livingstone only came to tell the story. It's my job to demonstrate the power. That, listen, the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. Do you understand my point? That is, yes, yeah. Men are putting food into pockets with holes. I know. That's because they were not blessed. But now we, the blessed people, have come. We will take our wisdom from afar, tap it from there, and use it to plug the holes and fill the pockets. And say, the same thing that blessed you in America, it can bless us here. Are you getting what I want to say? That we have become distributors. Now, that's what wealth is. They say, you just go to America, you just buy your own house. They say, okay, that's good. So men in their hearts said, Lord, why can't we do it here? After all, we are also blessed people. The time in which we're cursed has passed. Are you getting my point? The light has come. He said, arise, shine, for your light has come. Is that not what he said? He said, arise, shine. So God, it's time to arise. Therefore, my mission in life, as an example, you tell yourself, me too, I want to ensure that in my lifetime, Nigerians too will just buy their own houses like this. God said, are you sure? He said, yes, sir. That's what you want to do. He said, fine. I begin to train you. It might take 10 years, 15 years, but one thing is sure, in your lifetime, you will tap your chest and set at least one, that not 1 million, tens of millions are buying their houses easily because of me. It doesn't mean I sold them all their houses, but the framework, the concept, the pioneering examples, I developed it. No, when you look, I look at Nigeria as an example. Why is every educated house not having internet? An American will pay $40, $100 maximum in a month, and in that month, he gets 100 channels cable. He gets almost unlimited calling within America, call abroad for 200 minutes, and then gets internet unlimited, 24 hours. How much is he paying? $100. Even in Naira, that's 13,000 Naira. Are you getting my point? That is prosperity. So as you are sitting there, you are beginning to conceive, why can't we have internet in every house? That's why the other company I told you that I believe it will be one of the most powerful in Nigeria. That's why I love them. Because every day they are cooking up how to bring a new product to every home. I went to Lagos the other day. They said they now had broadband internet access. I said, this is Nigeria too, yes. So every home can now just plug in. I said, this is good. If you constantly think about what to bring into the lives of people as a form of blessing, then God says, you have resonated with me. Because listen, believe me, just by looking at the amount of gospel that Nigeria has preached, you know, now we're exporting gospel. That means the time to favor her has also come. That means all that is left are the Josephs who will come and teach the people how to preserve their harvest. You are getting the concept. That's how God blesses people. That is why he shows them the message of David. Listen, don't let anybody fool you with the lie that as a child of God, you are the head. Listen, as a child of God, you are supposed to be the head. Whether you be a head or tail depends on whether you begin to think like God or not. Are you getting my point? Michael Dell explained that, listen, this set the pace for the computer market. Are you getting my point? Listen, for your information, Dell made the first computer that could run for hours. Like, you know, my computer has been on here for hours, not plugged to power. Dell was the first to do it. They were the first to use lithium-ion batteries in their portable systems. That's how it is. Nobody was doing it before then. That's how heads behave. They are constantly thinking of how to add something to somebody's life. So it's not that you are a son of God that will make you blessed too. It is that you are doing the work that a son of God is supposed to do. What did prodigal son say when he was going home? He said, even the servants in my father's house, they have more, they have enough not only to eat, but to spare. That is, having enough to eat is not about being a son, but by being a servant at the same time. You are getting the principle. Who is the servant of God? The one that wants to explain the blessedness that is in the redemption that's in Christ Jesus for the whole earth to see. I believe it's so important that the black man drops away this shadow of a curse that hangs around him. And the only way it will happen is when men begin to demonstrate it because of the light that God is showing in their hearts. So the other day, Kingsley came, yesterday, came and met me. He was getting married. What's his name? Onyekachukwu came. Getting married. They said Gozie couldn't come because the girl was not with him. After they left, I told my wife, I said, the gospel is bearing fruit. At least we have preached and we have delivered the young Igbo man from waiting till he's 70. It's working. That's the way it works. This is at the beginning of some, no, great things are beginning to start. You are going to start from there. Are you getting my point? When Chike gave his testimony, I was very glad. They want to hear this morning. Now I have bought my own Hummer. No, you can drive Hummer and drive it into a wall. It's your problem. What I want to hear is that today we employed our 10th employee. Today is our employee number 100. And today I bought the first brand new S-Class for my CEO or for my vice chairman or deputy MD. Today, we finally give the 10,000th scholarship. Those are the testimonies I want to hear. You build house, you will build house. Those who don't testify will also build house. So, don't come and tell me, have us a praise God. We finally bought land. Get up. I don't want to hear. You will buy house, you will buy land, you will buy car, you will buy anything you want to eat. You will. But real testimony is that God sent me here, like Joseph said, to preserve lives. Sir, I have been preserving lives. I want to hear that. I have been preserving lives. Before now, they said people from here couldn't go to school. But I said, they won't have to go to school. School will come to them. Now, sir, we have planted the school right in the center of them. Now they go to school. Are you getting my point? Man, that is what makes men blessed. That's what God looks at in the heart. And said, this one, open doors for him. Men that have keys of the kingdom, go. Open doors for them. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe the Lord is good, shout a very loud amen. Amen. Let's begin to give God thanks if you have learned something today.